This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And you know, in the past, we've had scientists, we've had physicists, doctors, chemists, biologists, physicians, geneticists, paleontologists on the show, but we've never had a political scientist, writing about artificial intelligence. So today we're going to talk not just about robots, but about the impact of robots on society. And of course, there's a big debate raging even as we speak. On one side, we have people like Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook saying that artificial intelligence will generate jobs, economic activity, new frontiers which will enrich our life. On the other hand, we have naysayers like Elon Musk and also the late Stephen Hawking who say, watch out. There's a singularity out there. One day, perhaps the machines will be smarter than us and maybe they'll put us in cages and throw a penis at us and make us dance behind bars. Well, we have many scenarios, and with us today is Dr. George Zarkadakis, author of a new book, Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. And we're going to talk about the impact of artificial intelligence on politics, on democracy, on citizens' organizations. And by the way, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest one is called The Future of Humanity, talking about the future of humanity in outer space, talking about the future of the space program decades, centuries from now. And on Facebook, we have 4 million fans on Facebook. So once again, today we're going to talk about the impact of artificial intelligence on society. Will democracy survive if inequality gets out of control? With us today is Dr. George Zarkadakis. The book is called Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. So George, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Kaku. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, we should also point out that he leads an organization called The Future of Work. And so the question for you is, how did you get interested in something as esoteric as artificial intelligence and its impact on society and democracy? What led you into that direction?
So I also have a background in engineering, and my PhD is in AI, and I'm working actively both in developing AI systems and at the same time consulting big Fortune 500 companies on the impact of AI on work. So that the combination of all those things led me to, you know, start asking questions. Where do we go? I mean, how are we going from here into the future, given the profound impact that AI can have on society and politics?
Okay, well, if you look historically, each time a new technological revolution came about, society adjusted and it enriched society. Thousands of years ago, we were nomads wandering in the ice during the Ice Age, and then we became farmers. With the discovery of agriculture, nomads became farmers. Farmers eventually became craftsmen, blacksmiths, people who had skills. With the Industrial Revolution, that brought locomotives, steam engines, enriched society, and created a generation of automobile workers. Today, we have a lot of service workers in the economy. So what's different? What's different about the artificial intelligent revolution than all the previous revolutions that enriched society, generated wealth, and we adjusted to it?
Absolutely. So there's a few factors that are very different this time. First of all is the speed by which technology is evolving. It's much faster than previous technologies. Secondly, there is the interconnectedness that exists in the world today because of internet, because of globalization. This creates a very unstable environment overall geopolitically. And thirdly, it's the nature of AI technology. AI technology is a cognitive multiplier, is a machine that can, in many ways, execute cognitive functions. He said, being only human. And that in itself, that intrinsic quality in artificial intelligence, is what provides this new challenge, if you like, as we go forward. So these three things are very unique and very new.
Okay. Now, in your book, you lead off talking about the future of work. Now, we think of work as like a 9-to-5 job. But 9-to-5 jobs are actually relatively recent, a byproduct of the Industrial Revolution, which is only just a few hundred years old. Long time ago, if you were a skilled craftsman or a farmer, you didn't have a 9-to-5 job. So tell us a little bit about the evolution of the job, the evolution of work.
You're absolutely right. In fact, work is a relatively modern phenomenon. It is indeed a phenomenon of the Industrial Revolution when we had this dislocation, this massive dislocation of millions and millions of people that used to work in farms into cities, in industrialized cities, where a completely different rhythm of life took hold. And work became very much the most important aspect of that life, both because that was a source of income, but also because it provided workers, i.e. the people who provided labor, with the political means to request new rights. So we saw this transformation, if you like, of society, both because of the new way by which the economy functioned, but also the new way that our political systems evolved. What we're seeing now, and we've seen that phenomenon happening, I guess, slowly over the past few decades, we see an erosion of work, both in terms of the asymmetry, let's call it that way, between labor and capital. The percentage of contribution that labor makes in the economy becomes lesser every year. Also, the leverage, therefore, that labor has in the overall economy is also lessening. And the other important thing that we see is that work becomes very insecure. It's not the jobs that our parents and grandparents perhaps had that last them for a lifetime. And that creates a new anxiety. And when you put all those things together and you look into the future, where artificial intelligence and automation is starting to take away many, many tasks from people's jobs, tasks that have to do with the way we understand, the way we acquire knowledge, the way we become experts, then a conclusion that we can draw is that work will become even less secure in the future. So the big question is, how will that impact society? How will that impact people's lives? How will that impact people's hope for the future and income?
Okay, well, ever since I was a kid, people talked about the American dream. The American dream is very simple, that your kids will lead a better life than you. And I still remember the presidential elections going into the past. Ronald Reagan asked the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? So this is a question of presidential elections, politics, that there was sort of like an unstated bargain that if you obey the rules, then your kids will lead a better life than you. Do you think that so-called American dream has now been disrupted?
I think it's definitely being disrupted. Absolutely. And that is why we need to reinvent ways of reanimating the American dream.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. But after the break, we'll continue with discussion of Cyber Republic and the nature of work in the AI future. Will you have a job? Does it matter in the future? Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call and you can get on Science Fantastic. The number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender, not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIVE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. If you need financial help, have an advanced stage illness and a life insurance policy, text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're going to talk about one of the great issues of the future, and that is technology and its impact on society, specifically the economy and jobs. Artificial intelligence, is it a good thing? Will it put a lot of people out of work? Will it create new industries? Well, with us today is Dr. George Zarkadakis, author of a new book, Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. Well, before the break, we talked about the fact that, well, automation does replace workers. We know that ever since the assembly line got off the ground decades ago, but new jobs opened up. So there was a bargain that yes, we will accept technology, we will accept automation on the condition, unstated condition, that there's going to be new opportunities opening up. So do you think that is happening, that on one hand, we're losing jobs to automation, but on the other hand, new jobs are opening up? What are your thoughts?
So absolutely, I think If we look back into the previous industrial revolutions and disruptions by technology, we clearly see those two contrasting phenomena happening. Both you have on one side the dislocation of jobs, and on the other side you have this so-called compensation phenomenon whereby new jobs are created. But there's something else happening as well, which is really, really important. What's happening is the so-called hauling out of work. And that means that you end up with having great many jobs that are low-skilled and low-paid, and great many jobs that are high-skilled and highly paid. And everything in the middle disappears. Now, that can be very problematic for society to absorb. And as I said, in the previous industrial revolutions, we had time to absorb that. But in this, but this time, because of the scale and speed by which technology is evolving, we may not be able to adjust given that impact. And I think that's where the danger is. That's definitely one of the big dangers for our system of government, which is based on people having a stake in the economy.
Okay, well, there's another point of view that says that the reason why the middle class of America has been hollowing out is because the middle class went to China. That is, for every American that lost a job in this country that's middle class, a job opened up in China. And the fact that we have telecommunications means that it's easier to export jobs overseas. So when you talk to somebody, for example, on the phone with an Indian accent, chances are the person is in India. But crystal clear reception because of fiber optics, and of course they speak perfect English in India. So what are your thoughts about the opposite point of view, that it's been the export of our middle class overseas that caused the hollowing out of the middle class?
So in many ways that has indeed happened, and I don't think this is very much the opposite view. It's something that we clearly have seen happening over the past few years because of globalization and because of labor arbitrage. And what exactly happened was it wasn't really whole jobs that left the United States or left other Western countries. There were, in fact, tasks within jobs that left native countries. And it's the same phenomenon that's going to happen with automation and AI. So, for example, when you hear politicians speaking about onshoring jobs, manufacturing jobs, what they truly mean is that, yes, production will return, let's say, in the United States for several sort of manufacturing processes, but those processes will be automated. So although the process will return, the jobs will not. And I think that is a very significant point to make.
Well, this is, of course, an issue for the presidential elections as well. The question is bringing back the jobs. Is it possible to bring back industrial jobs, given the fact that automation and computers has given us a digital age? Or is it really a blueprint for the future that jobs should return back to the United States that were exported because of globalization? What are your thoughts?
So I think we need to reframe this conversation altogether because we're not living in a static world. So the fact that automation and technology is already making inroads into how processes are automated in businesses should give us pause and start thinking about how we can really reinvent and rethink the very meaning of work and, if you like, how each and every one of us adds value to society. Because so far, the economic model has been that unless you work and you have an income, you're not an asset, you're a liability. Someone else has to pay for you. So I think we need to rethink what that means in the future of AI systems, where a lot of work, if not most of the work, is already automated. What will happen to us? How are we going to create value in a world where work will be so diminished? And I think there are ways to reinvent that, and those are the ways I'm discussing in my book.
And what about income inequality? The fact that some people say the 1% is getting richer and richer. Other point of view, however, is that technology makes possible the 1% because they are more industrious. And that's a natural outcome of the fact that they are creating businesses, high-tech businesses, but they deserve it. They earn them the money that they get. What are your thoughts?
So I think it's a matter of of scale, right? So I absolutely agree that there needs to be some degree of inequality in order to motivate people to do great things. Absolutely. But what we have seen over the past few years has been a tremendous gap in income inequality. Now, the reason why this happens, there's many reasons why that happens, but since you mentioned the role of technology in that, what we see, and you can see that in the stock market, I guess, the most valuable companies are the big tech companies. And the business model that the big tech companies have is really interesting because that kind of like speaks, if you like, to the business model of the future, where every company will probably like to imitate the Apples, the Googles, and the Facebooks of this world. Their business model is based on something called a digital platform, where with very few people, in fact, you can create enormous value because you're using data and algorithms in order to create that value. Now, if that is the most successful business model that we have, and that successful model creates huge inequality, then we really need to think, what's going to happen when almost every company will adopt this model? What's going to happen to us where we don't have a job, where inequality becomes a huge issue, much greater than now, because at least now some people have some money? So I think those are the big questions that we should be asking. And those are, in fact, the questions I'm trying to tackle in the book.
Well, other people would say something slightly different. They would say that whenever there was a new technology, like oil and Standard Oil and John D. Rockefeller, whenever there was a new industry, of course, a few billionaires are going to emerge because they're the ones that take advantage of it. But eventually, the economy revs up and all boats rise because sea level rises for everybody. But that's universal, that every time a new technology is formed, the people who have the patents, the people who have the idea, of course they get rich, but it's temporary. Eventually, all boats are lifted because of general economic activity. What are your thoughts?
So, yes, absolutely. This is the whole, if you like, point of having economic growth, right? The pie becomes bigger, and even if you have a small size of that pie, still your size is considerable. And I'm hopeful that this may happen in the future as well. But as I said in the beginning, I think that there are certain differences now compared to the past. And one of the big differences is that we see those new business models that I just mentioned, the digital platform models. What those models do is they don't create many new jobs. They create few very valuable jobs, but not the number of jobs that is important in order to compensate for the job losses elsewhere. At the same time, they destroy thousands and thousands of jobs. So I think we need to reinvent the whole economic model, if you like, okay? And by that I mean, for example, if the reason why Google becomes so rich or Facebook becomes so rich is because of data, and that data is that I produce and you produce and we produce as we interact, shouldn't we be, if you like, participating in the value that is created, in the economic value that is created? Shouldn't be compensated, if you like? So, for example, shouldn't we be thinking about data property rights?
Yes, go on. You're building up to something.
So, for example, maybe we can think of ways.
Well, let's take another short commercial break. But once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So give us a call because we're talking about the future of work, the future of your job. On Science Fantastic, so give us a call.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is designating far-left movement Antifa and the Ku Klux Klan as terrorist organizations and saying that lynching needs to be made a federal hate crime. President Trump delivering remarks at his second of three rallies set for Friday, the president courting the African-American vote.
Before the China virus, we built the greatest economy for African-Americans in the history of our country, and we are doing it again.
President Trump ending his day in Newport News, Virginia. Former Texas Congressman Ron Paul is in the hospital and recovering from a medical emergency, which happened while he was live streaming a talk show. The 85-year-old was speaking about the economy on his YouTube channel when his speech became slurred and he struggled to continue speaking. You're listening to USA. Two nights of protests, a curfew remains in effect for Louisville starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher reminding everyone who's out there protesting.
And it's important for those taking to our streets and those supporting demonstrators from home to understand the power of this moment. You have the attention of the people who lead our government, our businesses, our education. We're obviously engaged in this work and ready to do a lot more, but we have to do it together. And violence only hurts this cause.
Louisville Metro Police Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly intends to file civil lawsuits against those who have called him a murderer for his role in the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor, according to his attorney. Mattingly remains on administrative reassignment following the grand jury decision on Wednesday that did not indict him on any charges. He remains under an internal investigation like the other five officers involved in the shooting.
At the American...
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the impact of artificial intelligence on society. So we're not talking about Hollywood robots. No, we're talking about the automation of work, that lots of jobs can be automated, especially repetitive jobs. Jobs that require the same motion over and over again, or jobs that require a search engine-like ability of pattern recognition, those jobs are being phased out. And the question is, what does that mean for society? How will society deal with the fact that certain sectors of the economy will become super productive, super rich, like the Apples and the computer companies, but other companies may lag behind and create more and more income inequality. So where we last left off, we were talking about that on one hand, you can divide the pie thinner and thinner and thinner, tax Peter to pay Paul, income distribution, socialism, tax the rich, or you can grow a bigger pie for everybody. So continue on that line. What are your thoughts?
We definitely need to grow a bigger pie. It's just that we also need to have some pieces of that pie. So this pie of the 21st century will not be fueled by oil as the previous industrial revolutions. I think almost everybody agrees it would be fueled by data. So if data is so valuable, let's think of ways where, you know, all of us can participate in this data economy. And one idea is around data property rights. So let me give you an example. American Airlines was trying to tap into a government loan because of the pandemic they were trying to raise something like, if I'm not mistaken, $4.7 billion. And in order to get that loan, they offered as collateral their loyalty program, which is in fact a database. What is interesting about that, and other, by the way, airlines have also begun to imitate American Airlines. What's interesting about that is that an asset, which is essentially a database, it's offered as a collateral, an asset that has a valuation of around, $8 billion to $10 billion. That means there is huge, huge value in the data. So imagine, for example, that, citizens in a city or patients or professionals of a certain profession or a certain association decide to build something called a data trust, an organization that will collect their personal data, the data that is produced through the interactions, and make it available to third parties in order to develop their AI algorithms. If we can imagine this, i.e. separating the collection of data from the access and processing of the data, then we have a new way of thinking of the economy. Because if I am a member of a data trust, for example, then I will maybe have a considerable stream of income from the commercialization of my data. So this is just an example of how we can, rethink new business models that are fit for a future where there's going to be less work, i.e. less income from jobs, and more value created by data and algorithms.
Okay, well, let's move on now. You briefly touched upon the singularity that some people worry about. The singularity is more or less the point at which robots become smarter than us, and they reproduce and become exponentially smarter than us, and they put us out of business. So the robots are the next evolutionary step in humanity, but what happens to us? Are we outdated evolutionary dead ends? So what are your thoughts? First of all, is the singularity real? And if it is real, what are we going to do about it if the robots put us in cages?
So I think it's very real if we continue with the way we develop artificial intelligence today.
Okay, George, we have to take another short commercial break. But after the break, we're going to talk about the singularity. Will the robots take over? And what does that mean for democracy and society? You are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station or website, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is
really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own. So stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. In the past, we've had a number of programs on artificial intelligence talking about what robots can do, what they can't do, what kinds of jobs they can create, what kinds of jobs can they eliminate. But what about the impact of artificial intelligence society as a whole? With us today is Dr. George Zarkadakis, author of a new book, Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. Well, in your book, you don't say too much about it, but some people are worried about the singularity when robots become smarter than us and consider us an evolutionary dead end while they take over. So what are your thoughts? Should we do something about it? Is it all hype? Is it nothing but Hollywood propaganda, or is it real and we should act on it?
So I think it's very real as a projection if we continue to develop AI systems in the way we do today. So let me explain what I mean. Since the beginning of artificial intelligence back in the late 1950s, the core idea behind AI, the core, if you like, manifesto behind artificial intelligence had to do with system autonomy. In other words, we want to build systems that are completely decoupled from human beings. Think of driverless cars or think of autonomous robots, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I think that if we continue accepting implicitly that core manifesto of AI around autonomy, then sooner or later we will end up with a singularity. And that is why in my book, I suggest that we change that. I think we can build systems where artificial intelligence is not autonomous, is recoupled with human beings, and therefore has goals that are human-centric. For example, I may have an AI system that helps me learn faster and better because I set my own goals and the AI system helps me achieve them, rather than having an AI system going out and learning everything by itself and becoming omniscient. So how we create a new genre, a new generation, a new kind of AI that is more coupled to the human goals and human needs, I think that is very crucial if we want to avoid the AI singularity.
Well, the opposing point of view says that, well, who pays for AI? It's mainly the Pentagon. Most of the funding for AI comes from the military. And we pay generals to win wars. We don't pay generals to lose wars. And therefore, we want the best we can get on the battlefield. And if AI fits the bill, it means that AI systems will be funded and they're programmed to kill. So what are your thoughts about the fact that we can dream about friendly AI, but the reality is, where does the money go? It comes from the Pentagon. What are your thoughts?
I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, throughout the history of technology, we see that, you know, war is the father of all, in fact. And you're actually mentioning now a very important point. And that is why this thing needs to stop. That's why we need to have an international agreement, very much like the agreement we have around biological and chemical weapons, to have a similar agreement around autonomous weapon systems. I think that's what we need to do. I think this, what we're currently on the road that very soon there will be we will be past the point of no return. And I think that'll have tragic consequences for humanity. We need to stop that.
Okay. Also in your book, I was surprised that you mentioned socialism and capitalism and AI. Capitalism, where prices are set by the free market, and socialism, where there's planning and prices are set by some bureaucrat someplace. And you mentioned that socialism failed because no bureaucrat could possibly get the correct price for millions of products. And as a consequence, socialist countries fell behind capitalist countries. So now you have computers, and you mentioned the possibility that maybe a computer could set prices correctly. What are your thoughts?
Well, exactly. So, you know, the big debate back in the 80s and 90s was, you know, the great thing about the free market is that you don't need to calculate prices. You know, supply and demand automatically finds the right price. And the problem that socialists had was they just couldn't get, you know, find a way to calculate, you know, prices, although theoretically it was possible. So it's interesting what happens in China over the past few years as the Chinese government is investing billions of dollars in AI.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And if you want to get on 100 radio stations that carry this program, call 612-564-8135. Leave your name, website you're listening to, or the call letters of the radio station and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio. So give us a call, because we're talking about AI and your future, your society.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. George Zarkadakis, author of a new book, Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. And we're talking about the impact of AI on society. There's no doubt that the introduction of AI has eliminated some jobs, but it's also created other jobs. And the question is, can AI generate new jobs, better jobs, faster than it eliminates the old ones? And for that matter, AI can also affect the destiny of nations. Capitalism versus socialism. That was one of the great debates of the 20th century. Socialist countries like the Soviet Union fell apart. They couldn't keep up with capitalist countries in terms of generating new jobs, new technologies. The marketplace was very efficient at that. And now people are saying, if we have a supercomputer, can a supercomputer replace market forces and determine the correct price for millions of objects in the marketplace? Well, George, what are your thoughts?
So very much, you know, this is the vision that Communist China has by investing billions of dollars in AI, by forcing all data that is produced in China to be government controlled. Essentially what the Chinese, communists are trying to do here is trying to build real socialism based on AI. So you will have all this data, you have all those algorithms, so the Communist Party or the government of China can control the economy without the need of parliaments, debates, democracy, and all that luxury. At the same time, you see, the tension between capitalism and socialism breaking down. For example, China is communist, but at the same time, its economic system is capitalistic. And that is because China and other countries, perhaps like China, authoritarian regimes, have managed to control the flow of information. So in China, for instance, many of the sites that provide news and views that are against the Communist Party are forbidden, so people don't have access to that kind of information. At the same time, however, they're free to start their own businesses, to have enterprises, and to get rich. So that tension that we had during the Cold War between socialism and capitalism has broken down.
So what's the future then? Because, of course, that's central to the future of nations. The Chinese model, the U.S. model, or some other model in between. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that we can't possibly compromise our democratic values. We can't follow on the path of China. We have values around personal freedom and liberty that we must preserve. But we must also understand that we are clearly at a disadvantage right now. When it comes to an authoritarian regime as China. And we have to overcome this disadvantage and turn it into an advantage. And I think the way to do that is by rethinking our economic model. How will people trust the government in the future? How are we going to deal with misinformation in our society, with algorithms creating these polarizing opinions that essentially create a breakdown of consensus and democracies and pits one against the other? What sort of new technologies we need in order to ensure that there's no misinformation, there is trust, that there's citizen participation, and ultimately we remain stakeholders of economic growth and don't get marginalized because of AI and algorithms? These are big questions. And personally, I would have liked that those questions became part of the presidential debate in the U.S. as well.
Now, you mentioned digital authoritarianism. That is, dictatorships maintained not necessarily by guns, but dictatorships represented by a 1984 Big Brother that knows everything about everything. So what about the democratic model? How will a democratic model meet this new challenge of digital authoritarianism that you mentioned in your book?
So I think that's, in fact, where our big advantage lies. The fact that we have many voices in democratic society, and that makes democratic societies far more resilient than authoritarian regimes. The problem we have, however, now in our open societies is the problem that is often termed as surveillance capitalism. In other words, our data and our lives are being privatized, if you like, because of the big commercial companies in our society. And it's that problem that we need to solve. We need to solve for this problem of surveillance capitalism. We need to participate in the AI economy. And there's many ways to do that. Think, for example, you know, an Uber, right, where it belongs to the drivers. We can build companies like that. We can build digital cooperatives, for example, which is a very, you know, free market capitalist form of enterprise. However, it creates wealth that is more equally shared among the participants. So there's many new business models and old business models that can be repurposed with technology that can help us advance both the values of democracy and our ways of life without having to imitate authoritarianism or socialism or, you know, oppressive regimes.
Okay, well, let me ask you another question that was mentioned during the presidential debates about a guaranteed income. Some people say that work is going to become more and more obsolete. Jobs are going to be replaced. So why not guarantee a baseline income for, well, everybody, the rich, the poor, the people who don't work, the drug addicts, everybody, a guaranteed bottom line income? What are your thoughts?
I think we may need to, you know, consider universal basic income as part of the solution. I don't believe that it will be, you know, the magic bullet that will solve the problem. So far, in fact, wherever it has been tried, the results have been very mixed. It all depends. For example, you know, if people were free to pursue their interests and be creative, that would be great.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay. Once again, our special guest has been Dr. George Zarkadakis. The book is called Cyber Republic, Reinventing Democracy in the Age of Intelligent Machines. And we should also point out that he's the author of In Our Own Image, The History and Future of Artificial Intelligence. And you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call and you can get on national radio. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 Technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your real water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.